this nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline
greed
in the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
A late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy. Economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Well, good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most-respected money show on radio. Matt Haynes here with Troy Harmon, Shauna Theriault. Shauna, good to have you with us this week.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back. It's been a few weeks.
Yes, and I don't have a cold this time.
That's good. The last time you were on, you kept coughing.
I know.
It's not allergy
season yet.
It wasn't that bad.
No.
It gave you a hard time, but
no.
It wasn't that bad. So, Troy, missed you last week.
Yeah, I had a stunt double last week. I had Nick standing
Nick in
for
here.
Me. Hopefully,
he did
a great job.
I had to
kind of
fake my way through a dog of the week, man.
Tell me that he said the market was going up, right?
He did.
Oh, great.
He did.
All
he
right.
set up.
I'll
he
take all the credit for that. I trained him well.
There you go. There you go. That's right. Well, very cool. Well, glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning. As we always say, we record the show on Thursday afternoon. So if you've got questions you want us to answer, email us or call us during the week. You can reach us on the phones at 770-429-9166 or email us at drgene@hensler.com, and we would love to answer your questions on the air. And lots of economic news this week.
Yeah, we got a little bit of news, and we actually had the first drop, fell by 5.6 points, down to 92.2. The first drop since November, and lowest confidence index since last July. So not real good news. Basically what they do, they've got a survey, and they talk to you about your current conditions and then your expectations for the future. And in both cases, this period, it looks like consumers were a little bit down, but 92.2 is still a pretty high
number.
Yeah. It's still not terrible, but a decrease of any sort is not wanted. Jobless claims, we do see this is a weekly thing as well, so there's probably a little more volatility in it just because we report it so frequently. Initial claims rose by 10,000 to 272,000 in the week ended February 20th. Declined on the 4-week moving average was a slight decline to 272,000 from 273,250. So, not too bad. All things considered, that's nothing to worry about on the jobless front. And then durable goods, we had new orders that rose 4.9% in January. As you recall, Matt, everything manufacturing, any of that was seemed like it was ugly during that period, but
sure
we are seeing some signs now that it may not have been as bad as we had initially thought. Say it was in line with our anticipated details, but the consensus overall only expected 2.9%, so it was 2% higher than the consensus expectation. So definitely positive news. See a gradual improvement in the capital equipment spending, so maybe a little bit of capital spending out there. Mm-hmm. And got to work down a little bit of those inventories that had stockpiled, which, it's good to see some of that. It's usually a positive thing for the future when you see inventory start to work down a little bit.
Absolutely.
Maybe the manufacturers will build them on back up.
Got it. Very cool. Well, let's finish up some of this economic news, Troy.
Yeah,
we've got a lot. We're almost done with earnings. They're almost done.
Yeah, we're
69 out of 500, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're more than 90% of the way through fourth quarter earnings reporting. And all things considered, we've got higher than normal surprises,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't translate into earnings growth, unfortunately,
yep.
relative to the previous year. And, if you think about it, when you have energy that has contracted in earnings by 72%, earnings growth has contracted
right.
72%, just in energy alone, you look at what energy prices, what crude oil prices did during that period, were down about 40%. So you wouldn't expect that their revenues would be very good. Revenue sales growth, negative 34%,
mm-hmm.
And earnings growth, negative 72%. Materials are in a similar situation, but a whole lot better than that, 15% contraction in sales growth. 17, almost 18% contraction in earnings growth. And where's the big winner?
Telecom, right?
Yeah, we got telecom. And there's only five companies.
I was going to say, that's a real small. That's not a big chunk of the overall number of companies.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. It's less than 3% of the total. But we have seen an expansion, almost 12% growth in the sales and 25.5% growth in earnings. The other standout, it's got to be consumer discretionary. You would expect that with cheaper gasoline prices.
More money to spend.
Absolutely, yeah. We got a 4% increase in sales year over year, and then a 10.3% increase in earnings overall.
And financials still hadn't bounced back and done what has been expected quite
yet. No. I know we've talked about this before in recent weeks.
It's up a little bit this week, but not the sector was, but still just not what everybody was calling for this year.
No, it isn't. And if you look at what the yield curve has done, mm-hmm. After you get out about the 1 year, everything from the 1 year on has seen a contraction instead of an expansion.
A
flattening of the yield curve. The mm-hmm. short end has stayed relatively stable,
right.
And everything beyond the short end has gone down. So instead of that expansion in the net interest margin that we had talked about, where everybody expected banks were going to be more profitable, they have not. Year-to-date, financial sector down 11.4%, the absolute worst. And going into the year, you wouldn't have ever expected that, listening to everyone's forecast.
Yeah, it's the worst of all sectors in the S&P, right?
Right, yeah. Telecom's the best
at
10.75. Yeah,
the next worst is healthcare at down 6.73.
Right, yeah.
So it's not even close.
More than 5% mm-hmm. worse. Utilities have been a big winner this year as well, 9.27% positive, and consumer staples. So all three of those are industries where you would expect they would do well in
right.
a contraction in markets, kind of a defensive position most of the time.
So how does the – because, we've talked about this, to your point, on the air several times, week over week, about, we think or would have thought, most of the market said, is if rates are going to go up, the banks are going to benefit. But in reality, the opposite's been the case. Rates have gone up. It's affected the short end of the yield curve, not the long end,
mm-hmm.
and on and on and on. Net interest margin compression, right? So banks aren't making as much money on the spread. So does it make you look at the banks and say, well, which ones have got more fee income? I mean, do you study their income statement a little bit differently? I mean, I think of like the BB&Ts of the world, and
sure.
They've got large fee income chunks in their income statement.
Right, yeah. BB&T has made a strategic move into more insurance brokerage mm-hmm. businesses. Mm-hmm. You look at things like that. Wells Fargo has actually looked at more mortgage business. So, mm-hmm. There are kind of specialties that some of them take on. You get more of the diversified banks where they have market exposure, where they're in there actually trading on a daily basis, mm-hmm. trying to make money by trading as quickly as they can. Quite often they can be profitable doing that. You see that when markets are up or down. I mean, with a trader, they don't care what direction the market moves as long as it continues to move.
Yeah. Volatility is their friend.
Absolutely. But, it lets you dig into that and kind of get a feel for what things are going on. And, there's some people that are just avoiding the banks altogether. There's other things in financials that you can look at. You can see asset managers.
Right.
There's plenty of companies like a T. Rowe Price, which
brokerage
is one
firms.
That we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond James, brokerage firms. You got insurance companies. The space in financials is pretty well diversified.
Right.
And then you have companies that are just the small banks, and they might have better fee income, to your point.
Sure.
And do quite well. So. You look there, and it surely is not the banks who've been leading the charge, unless you want to say they're leading it further
in the wrong direction.
Yeah, further down.
So we got a bunch of news this week. I mean, I noticed going through our roundup here, we got almost a page and a half of stuff. You got the consumer CPI came out, consumer price index.
Yeah, this is one that we've been watching very closely. Over previous months, we couldn't quite get to that Fed target, and even without us getting to the Fed target, they raised interest rates.
Sure.
You would rather have them act early, and this is some evidence that maybe they did the right thing. We got, on an annual basis, 2.1% in CPI, so it's barely above their target, finally, of 2%. If you look, there's still plenty of volatility in the energy. Food was relatively stable, but...
Right.
you know, all things considered, we do see a little bit of a tick up in inflation. So
yeah, I mean, you take out even, you know, you exclude food and energy from the core there, and it's up even 0.3 in January.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just a month's time. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying, the equivalent, you know, about 2.1% on an annual basis. You know, it's one of those things you would rather see a little bit of inflation. What we think is ultimately the driver of any inflation is we've talked about employment being the best story in town for quite a few months. And when you get toward full employment, you start seeing wage employment increase. So we believe that's the driver there. A lot of information about home prices. Case Shiller came out, and this thing's got a two-month lag, so we don't look at it as closely as we do some of the others, but we do see a national index rose 5.4% over the 12 months ending in December. If you look at they break it down by a 20-city composite, and it was up 5.7%. The 10-city was up 5.1%, which was a tad below the 5.3% that we had seen from December numbers. But all things considered, on a seasonally adjusted basis, the 10-city and the 20-city were up by 0.7% and 0.8% respectively. So home prices continue to increase. We saw existing home sales released this week as well, showing that they were up 11% from January of 2015, so over a 1 year.
Well, and you got to believe, I mean, that's going to continue to plug along like this, right? I mean, as long as money's remains as cheap as it is, right? I mean, even, you know, we saw, you know, a 1 basis point drop on the average 30-year to 3.66. It's real cheap money.
It really is,
you know? I mean, so if you can get the financing, if you can qualify for it, whether it be a refi or a new home purchase, you got to believe that's going to continue to move markets a little bit.
Right. You skip down a little ways in our notes. You look at new home sales actually had a substantial drop in January, though. Mm-hmm. So it fell 9.2% from December, down 5.2% on the 12 months. So saying most of that grief was in the western area of the United States. So basically, they're blaming it on falling sales and a significant pipeline of homes under construction. So all things considered, the existing home sales picture looks a whole lot better than the new home sales. But at the same time, you know, this is a one-month thing, and I know new home sales have actually looked pretty decent, you know, in the recent past. MBA mortgage application, something we look at all the time every week, show that we had a bit of a decrease by 4.3%. The refi index was down 7.7%, and purchase index was actually up 2.2%. You know, you noted earlier how mortgage rates have acted, and they were slightly down, basically 1 basis point throughout the
week. They've been moving down pretty precipitously until this week.
Yeah, it slowed. It slowed a good bit. But anyway, you know, if you talk about the market overall, from February 11th, when we finally got a comment from Janet Yellen, we have seen the market bounced up over 6% just in a less than 2 week time. Oil during that period increased by 20%. We've returned to some more volatility where it goes down one day and up the next, but that's you know, Janet Yellen giving the market a little bit of an indication as to what she plans to do, but nothing basically in the turmoil that we've been dealing with has the market's taken that, I guess, as a positive sign.
That's a positive sign.
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come right back and answer more questions. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.